to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. As always, a thrill to be with you. So much to talk about in our world of common sense conservative values. If that's how you look through the world's lenses, if that's how you feel about what's going on out there, you have found the right spot. And you're welcome here every single day. Bring a friend, bring a family member. Come on back day after day. Welcome home to all of you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Not so sure about that one nation, that indivisible thing. Because I look at what's going on out there, and I do not see a path for union, a path for a merger, some kind of a way we can get back from this national divorce, because I think there are just some people who you cannot negotiate with. There are people who will not be reformed, who will not change. And life is about change. I don't know if they can. Yesterday, Tony Bobulinski sat before, for hours, a joint House Judiciary, House Oversight, House Ways and Means conversation under oath about what he has testified about probably a dozen times or more. There is a folder, a binder of more than 1,000 pages of Tony Bobulinski's testimony dating back to early, October 2020, before the election. He has told his story. He has blown the whistle. He is tired. And we should be too. Tony Bobulinski was called to testify about his interactions as a business partner with the Biden crime family syndicate. But it wasn't his testimony that got me today. I stumbled upon it. And I watched its 4 minutes and 41 seconds as a gentleman testified from prison, former business associate of Hunter Biden's. His name is Jason Galanis. Mr. Galanis sat in a suit and tie, almost gasping on his words as he testified about the 7 years he's already been in prison. Seven, maybe 8 years he's already been in prison. Four crimes he was found guilty of that Hunter Biden was never charged with. And in his 4 minutes and 41 seconds of testimony, which was played before these committees yesterday, Mr. Galanis, who's probably about my age, revealed he had been sexually assaulted in prison by a guard. He had been raped in prison by a guard. And as he revealed that, he had to take a gulp and admit how ashamed he was that he wasn't able to fight off his attacker. He then proceeds to talk about how that guard sexually harassed him for months until he could finally get the prison chaplain to listen to him. And he said to the committee, "I'm guilty of these crimes. I deserve a long prison sentence. I am woefully remorseful. There aren't words to tell you how sorry I am for being a part of the Biden crime family syndicate. Because I sit here and am raped. And I'm doing everything I can to not cry. Because men aren't supposed to cry, but I want to cry." Hunter Biden decides to bounce from this hearing today and bounce from all culpability. That's not liberty and justice for all. That's not one nation indivisible. That's antithetical to everything we believe. See, I'm not for people on my side, on my team, who wear my colors, getting off when they are criminal. And they do criminal things. I don't believe that there should be preferential treatment for the people in my camp. One nation means the same standard for everybody, but it does not exist. And yesterday, in this hearing, watching an absolutely exhausted Tony Bobulinski have his character impugned, his reputation assailed, to hear out of the mouths of the Democrats on the committees lies, smears, childish behavior I wouldn't expect any of my sons to execute, let alone elected representatives in our United States Congress. There is no question that the biggest story of them all is that Joe Biden is a traitor. Joe Biden traded this country for what he has craved all his life: power, control, money, fame. None of it buys you anything when your soul is empty. Have you ever noticed, if you know wealthy people, how commonly they are unhappy? As though there is an elusive dream that they are trying to capture. And the harder they try, no matter how many zeros end up in their bank account, there is a deficit in their heart. Not all of them. Many. Joe Biden sold this country to foreign governments. Joe Biden threatened our national security when he stole documents from the SCIFs and then let them be accessible by God knows who. Joe Biden has lied ever since he put his hand on the Bible in January of 1973 and became Delaware's youngest senator. Joe Biden is a national disgrace. Impeachment is too kind for Joe Biden. And yesterday, we had to see these ridiculous figments of representation behave as juveniles And I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for Tony Bobulinski, who served this country in the Navy, who comes from a military family, who believes that North is North. No matter if you stand by yourself. And you're going to hear these voices on this program today. It is not funny. No one is laughing. Because we are a country in tatters. And it is vital, vital that we take it back. That Jared Moskowitz walked into the hearing wearing a Vladimir Putin mask is just the beginning. Because what happened after that was a disgrace. And you need to know all about it so that you can make the best decisions moving forward for you and the people you love. Buckle up, we're just getting started on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, it's kind of a tale of juxtaposing stories today. So on the one hand, you're going to hear House Republicans going over testimony, going over details, going over things Joe Biden and Hunter Biden have repeatedly lied about, according to eyewitness testimony, according to all the whistleblowers, right? All these people have similar stories that directly refute what Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are saying. Now, in this country, do you guys believe that the president of the United States should be held to a different standard than everybody else? Because I will tell you, yes. I believe that the minute you become one of those highly esteemed, sworn in representatives, and at the highest level, the president of the United States, you assume a much higher degree of scrutiny that requires you be squeaky clean. And Joe Biden obviously is not. But I will say to you, the minute I had a child, I started changing my life. You tend not to drive as quickly. You tend to make better health decisions. You tend to look about toward savings and things of that nature because you have someone you need to set a path for. You need to be an example to. And they're there watching when you don't know they are. Your children hear, they see, they pay attention to how you behave with others in public. They know what your heart is all about. It's part of their fabric to watch you, to try to be like you. And so to see elected people behave in such poor ways is, I mean, disappointing doesn't do it. Is there a word? On the flip side of that, as I mentioned, juxtaposition, you have that as a prevailing storyline today, and we'll definitely get to it. But you also have something that is very curious. We're watching more people awaken on the left. More people in curious ways snap out of the trance. Media folks who are beginning to see and beginning to connect the dots that the people in charge of their particular area have indefensible positions that put everybody in danger, that nobody can defend. It's crazy. And we're going to take you to New York City to show you a firsthand example of what no cash bail is all about, what it's doing to the tapestry of a once great city that is now a crap hole. New York is just the tip of the iceberg. Go to Baltimore, go to Pittsburgh, go to Cleveland, go to Oakland, go to San Francisco. It's the same story. So what is that pivotal, seminal moment that snaps somebody out of it? It's not just the media. Black voters. They've been awake for a lot longer than they've been given credit. These people understand American history. They know where slavery comes from, where it originated, and the party that stopped it. They know who wants to keep them down. And they know that they have been brainwashed, and that in order to save themselves, they got to snap people out of it. One of the last holdouts to this great awakening, if you will, is women, which I find very interesting. Women who demand to be believed. Women who demand our respect. Women who expect us to defer to them, to provide extra, but want to be treated, right? Equally, but extra. Why are they the last to wake up, particularly liberal women? When are you going to stop being used as pawns? When are you going to put your foot down and say, I cannot be used anymore? Because they're the last group to snap out of it. And you're going to hear this from their mouths themselves. Christine Blasey Ford apparently is on a book tour, ladies and gentlemen. A book predicated on an uncorroborated, one could say, falsehood. Or we could just go all the way and say fabrication, lie, fantasy, dreamscape, whatever it is. How can you go out there and write a book about something that you have no corroborating evidence to support? There are no other people who can say, yes, I saw that happen, or even, yeah, I was there. Nothing. But as long as someone on the left who's a woman is taking a swing at somebody on the right, she will be supported. Well, we're going to shatter that. Perhaps that is the glass ceiling today that we will shatter, calling out women for being exactly who they are on the left. A nuisance, a roadblock, an emotional chunk of baggage, and when they get called out on it, indignant. It's not a good look. When we come back from this short break, we're going to dig into an on-air live television awakening as a news host, a television host, realizes she doesn't want to be liberal anymore. Wait for it. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You can imagine how I feel as a thrice canceled journalist, broadcaster, opinion haver, very public firings in my life. And it's part of the thing. I remember Rush Limbaugh talking about his 7 firings and how each one was...
You're not even halfway there.
I know, right? And so each one was a necessary detour for him that helped him find the path that he would be on. Certainly when you're in the mix of it, it's terrible. The first time I got sacked on television for speaking truth about black-on-black crime in my community after a horrendous murder, 6 people in my neighborhood gunned down. The Young Turks, I don't know if you guys follow these folks online or what have you. They, I believe, if Brock is telling me correctly, they decided to ride me for a little while as one of their whipping girls.
They beat you up pretty bad.
Did they?
Yeah.
I'm sure. You know what? It's so weird because they never got in touch with me to get the real story of what was going on.
They added someone to the panel when they talked about you.
Ooh, really? So we had three-way.
There were three of them going
three-way hate.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm used to it. It is what it is. If I cared what people thought, I would have caved a long time ago. I am strengthened by mission and love of country and what I believe is correct and how I feel in my heart about my family. It's not different than how you feel. I'm just blessed to have a platform in order to express that. So as I'm watching this morning and I'm like, holy smokes. So in New York, apparently, Kathy Hochul, with all of her wand-waving, liberal, hack-more decision-making, New York has cashless bail. So as those illegals who beat the snot out of the two cops in Manhattan got bounced hours after they got picked up for it, right? And then the guy comes out giving everybody the bird. It is not just people who assault others who can get out cashless bail. How about people accused of murder? How about people accused of murder and dismembering their victims? I know it's not appetizing, I beg your pardon, but we have to live in Realville here. How about murder, dismemberment, and then disposal of said body parts scattered across the several boroughs? It's inconceivable, but it has happened. And this young woman, one of the Young Turks, what's her name? Anna something or others? I don't even care. She's going to come on and she's going to tell you this story because her face is melting off. Her name is Anna Kasparian, and she details this story of the grisly dismemberment case in New York in which the four suspects who chopped up two people didn't have to pay bail or go to jail for the crimes. And as she's talking about this, it clicks with her. What are we doing? This is crazy. Now, while I'm grateful that she has awakened, you can imagine my response. Where you been, girl? Where you been? Audio soundbite number one, and she talks about hearing the case from The View, of all places, and then her decision to actually do a little research, which she never actually did in my case. Go.
Dismembering a corpse and hiding a corpse after dismembering it. Not bail eligible, not a serious crime. I'm not even kidding, guys. Like, when Joy Behar outlined that case, I was like, she's crazy. This isn't a thing. This isn't real. This isn't real. So I looked it up. It's real, guys. It's real. Listen, if being on the left means supporting this, then I'm not on the left and I'm okay with that. So let me give you the details of the case.
It doesn't mean that.
Okay, I don't know. Let me give you the details.
We're all on the left. We don't want people dismembering folks getting released. Only a couple
Some do.
I know. What I was in the middle of saying is only a couple of lunatic activists are like, yeah, we're pro dismemberment guys being let go. Okay, whatever. You don't represent the left at all.
These poor criminals who dismembered bodies. It's so unfair to put them in prison.
Little back and forth there. Little give and go. That iron liberal wall has kind of crumpled a little bit, because in Anna Kasparian's mind now, there is a limit that has been passed. There is a bridge too far. See, for the majority of you out there listening, especially those of you who are conservative, as I am, my threshold for suck is much lower than this young lady's. She's going to then detail what exactly happened. Now, I beg your pardon for the vile nature of these details, but this is what is going on in a once beautiful city that has been flushed down the toilet bowl of crap. Go.
So four people were arrested in New York after body parts were found in Long Island. okay, dismembered body parts. The victims were, you know, two people from Yonkers, older individuals. Suffolk County police say 44-year-old Stephen Brown, 38-year-old Jeffrey Mackey, 40-year-old Amanda Wallace, and 33-year-old Alexis Neves, or Neves, were charged with concealment of a corpse, tampering with physical evidence, and hindering prosecution. They have not been charged with murder. Prosecutors told a judge there was so much blood in pipes, sink, shower, and toilet of the Railroad Avenue home in Amityville where the suspects were arrested that it was deemed uninhabitable. Police said they confiscated meat cleavers, butcher knives, flesh, and body parts. Attorneys for Brown and Mackey admitted that their clients lived in that home where the body parts and all that blood was found, but denied chopping up the 59-year-old woman and 53-year-old man whose last known address was in Yonkers. Wallace also lived with Brown and Mackey in Amityville. Police said that Knives is homeless. Okay, all four pleaded not guilty. The judge released them without bail. They were fitted with GPS monitoring and must report in person for in-person probation and surrender their passports.
I don't care about their passports.
Dude, guys, like what?
Thank God.
Okay, so did further research because I just couldn't believe it. Here's more. With 2019 state reforms, mutilation and disposal of murdered corpses are among crimes that are no longer bail eligible. The DA said the four went to barbaric lengths to cover the crime. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing, Cenk? What are we doing? What are we doing? Someone tell me, what the F are we doing?
Yeah, look, no one signed up for this. I don't know how the hell any of these laws passed. I went to every progressive conference there was over the last 20 years. I never heard a single person saying, why don't we let the actual criminals go? Hey, if someone butchers someone and chops them up into little pieces, let's do the kind of criminal justice reform where they would be able to walk out free.
Yeah, come at me right now and tell me I'm the bad guy. Because I want these people who dismembered corpses and tried to conceal the evidence in prison. Come at me and tell me I'm the bad guy. Come at me.
Look, guys.
Insane, you guys are insane. Anyone who thinks this is okay is insane. And everyone else in New York has to suffer the consequences of this. With random bag checks at the subway by National Guard troops.
I'm very intrigued by her outrage here. Come at me and tell me I'm the wrong one. Hey, Anna, come at me and tell me that when someone says their six black neighbors should not be gunned down by black gangbangers in their backyard in front of their children, that makes them racist. Because it seems that now you've had your awakening. It took dismembering corpses and your suck governor and the guy next to you being like, well, nobody who's Democrat would ever vote for that. Wake the hell up. What do you think you've been voting for? You've been voting for crazy, you guys. And your chickens have come home to roost. Do you know who's awake, though? How about black voters? You want to hear some black voters? I do. Lindell TV, this audio soundbite number one, talking about reparations. You can talk all you want about reparations. The question is asked, if reparations are due to black people in this country, who should be paying them? Listen to this gentleman's sage and historically accurate answer.
I feel that the Democratic Party should pay reparations to blacks.
Boom.
Because it was in the 1800s when the Republicans, which was known as abolitionists, separated from the Dixiecrats because they did not want to continue slavery. So after the abolitionists helped black people become Republicans and they changed their name, black people were able to own businesses. They was able to create the Black Wall Street, Rosewood. They were the most wealthiest communities in the United States. And so it was the Democrat Party who created the Ku Klux Klan, and the Klan were the ones who hated the blacks for creating Black Wall Street, and that's why they dropped the bomb on Black Wall Street. It was the Klan that did that. 2 years later in 1923, it was the Klan that destroyed Rosewood. So if anybody owes black people money and reparation, it should be the Democratic Party, the Ku Klux Klan, which they originated from, that Democrats should be paying the money to blacks for all that they've done with slavery, the destruction of the black economic engines like Black Wall Street. I feel the Democratic Party should pay reparations to black people.
Oh, my. He has it. Anna Kasparian's starting to wake up a little bit. How about this gentleman who says, you know what? Gosh, it's almost like the Democrats just want to keep the black community down. Listen.
Just make the playing field level. What are you afraid of? Here in the black community, the kids are going to school. You go out into the white communities. The school, what they have in there, the computers and what they have in technology, we're so far behind. It's by all this is by design. Because if you can't get out here in this world, they don't teach you how to be entrepreneurs. They don't teach you how to invest your money. We're not teaching anything like that.
And you get back to this, though, and it's been Democrat for 60 years.
Yes.
What the hell? Why does the black community keep voting for Democrats?
Because we've been brainwashed. When I was coming up as in my household, it was a straight Democratic ticket.
Black people better understand this. If we don't stand together and we don't make a change, they've already brought the replacements in for us. If we don't shut the borders in the black community and get all the illegals out of our community.
They know everything. These are not stupid people. All they need to ask in the black community is of their Democrat leaders. Why are you against school choice? They need you in your place. They need you down. They need you on the take. They need you desperate. And they've gotten you exactly where they want you until it's time to wake up. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, gotta hear some sound. Tony Bobulinski setting the scene for what would be a pretty tumultuous 6 hours. Oh boy, we've got the best and the worst of it next. I can't imagine being Tony Bobulinski. I can't imagine being any of these whistleblowers. I can't imagine being Michael Schellenberger or Matt Taibbi or Joseph Ziegler or Shapley. Is it Joseph Ziegler? And I forget what Shapley's first name was. These are the people who came forward. They knew what the machine was. They knew what the consequences were. Well, before Mr. Galanis came forward yesterday and said he's been raped in prison. I think that's the part that stuns me. Right? When you're pregnant, you watch everything. Oh, don't eat processed foods. Oh, you don't want to eat that. Don't take any vitamins or supplements. Certainly don't drink. Do all these things. Make sure you take care. Then you have your baby. And you baby-proof everything. You've got a 4D monitor in their crib. You've got a full house of alarms. You're worried about every creak, every sound, every breath. You plug every outlet. You change the locks on every cabinet. You put a latch on your toilet. Because a baby can fall in, a toddler can fall in, and because of their head being bigger than their body, weight-wise, they can topple in and drown. You go through everything. You cut up their food. You take them dutifully to be checked out at the doctor. Make sure their teeth are okay and their vision. You get them in the best school you can. You got them vaccinated, right? Want to make sure they're safe. And now all of a sudden we have this carefree, lackluster idea of the value of life. That we can just expend our sons and daughters in ridiculous wars around the world that we have no business being a part of, but that our government starts. And that our sons and daughters are blown up. That's just the collateral damage and the cavalier Joe Biden looking at his watch. when their remains are transferred. That abortion is so indiscriminate. Do you think the black community should ask themselves what it is about liberals that encourages them to get abortions so commonly? I wonder. To the drug problem that's facilitated by Joe Biden, the turnstile of open for business southern border stuff, to suicide, to disease, to heartbreak, to four people being allowed to chop up corpses and distribute them all across the city and barely get any coverage from it. What? What happened to us? Yeah, but see, that's not where it's happening. Over on the right, this isn't what we're down with, you guys. Tony Bobulinski laid it out on the line yesterday before this thing even started. And it was blistering because he's done having a front row seat to the suck. Listen.
Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell more lies. Hunter Biden's defense attorney, Abby Lowell, weaponizes letters to Congress to try to smear my name.
Mr. Chairman.
The cold hard facts.
Mr. Chairman.
In an attempt to save his powerfully connected client and his father. I challenge Mr. Lowell to make those claims on national television so he can be held accountable for his lies. Prior to my successful business career, I was an officer in the United States Navy. At Navy's elite Naval Nuclear Power Training Command, I later served as the command's chief technology officer.
Please proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the...
Okay. Am I supposed to say it's my time, Mr. Raskin?
Yeah. But please, Mr. Bobulinski, please.
Okay. Boom.
Come to order. Mr. Bobulinski, please proceed.
Okay.
Please proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the minority.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, save his time, but he called members of this committee liars, and I just want to know whether the order and decorum requirements of House Rule 11 apply to witnesses appearing before the committee. Does it apply or does it not?
There's decorum from the members. We've asked for that. There's no language that I'm aware of pertaining to a witness.
Yeah. Thank you.
Make sure we didn't waste any of his time on the opening statement. Mr. Bobulinski, I'm sorry for the disruption. Please continue your opening statement.
I think Mr. Raskin, used.
We'll make sure it's right.
Great. I just want to restate, make sure the American people hear all these facts.
Jamie Raskin, the biggest snake in the swamp. So dirty, so disgusting, so predictable. Gets his boxers in a bunch because Tony Bobulinski called him a fraud and a liar and a propagator of suck. This is what you're going to hear today. You're going to hear Republicans ask pointed questions. Did the Biden family make money? Did Joe Biden accept a bribe? Who was the big guy? You're going to hear the Democrats read off their printed scripts because this is High School Musical, which edition? I've lost count. And they have rehearsed. They've practiced their lines. This is grandstanding 101. It's not about liberty and justice for all. It's not one country indivisible. Period. What do you think when you hear? Well, you decide. Next, hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio program.